The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Am I on here? Everybody going to be yelling at me. No audio. I'm green. All right. Hello there, internet audience. You should be hearing us now because we're green all the way around. Glad you're here. My dad, I'm going to have to give my dad a big hug when we get there. And we got this new adage around the Sparks house that country JC is a lot more active and proactive than city JC was. But there's a lot more to do in the country. You can only do so much in the city, you know, you just run out of things to do. But country JC is a lot better. And by the way, I want to give props out to Pastor Denise's aunt who's lovingly been praying for us and helping us along in our weight loss, and so is Pastor Glenn, and we're doing it, and we are getting ready to achieve a 15-year goal, and so looking a little better, trimming down a little bit better, got new britches on, don't have to tighten them up so much so they don't fall down. I mean, I could literally take a notch out of this belt and not cut my circulation off to my feet because Nessa found me some good pants that fit. So anyway, praise the Lord. I know. Now, those of you watching on the broadcast, now you just have to understand, and back when my mom and them guys were doing videos and singing and stuff like that, they told them back then that the camera added 20 pounds to you. Well, they didn't even have high def. So those of you watching this on high def 4K Ultra, those cameras add about 90 pounds to you, just so you know, and it takes away about half of your hair. Is that right, Pastor? Can I say that? Okay, all right. Whoever it was that just spewed your coffee when I said that, God bless you. Go get a towel and come back. All right. We love talking about access to the Father, don't we? I mean, we were just talking before we came live that last week, if you found out how to get into access to the source, you don't need to own everything. How many of you have discovered over the course of your lives that the more you own, the more you worry about? It adds stress, doesn't it? Now, I'm not communistic. I'm not socialistic. I'm not against owning anything. I'm saying a lot of times, like Brother Ed, who was here when he taught us the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we can handle today. Some of us try to get a hold of everything that we want all in one time, and we'll surely lose it and squander it. Amen? Lord, give us today what we can handle. If you're stressing, if there's too much stress in your life, this is going to be tough, but I'm not telling you something that I don't do. If you're stressing too much in your life, turn your phone off. Is that okay? People are watching things on the internet and receiving things on the phone that they wouldn't talk to that person or listen to that person down at Walmart. Yep. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You're listening to people that want to keep you stirred up, and we've got a big prayer request right now because some people got a hold of some people on the internet, quote-unquote prophets, preachers. You can watch them on television. They have to be true. And they introduced a false doctrine, and it's killing our brother. A false doctrine. Somebody came in and planted a seed and planted tares among the wheat, and now the wheat is dying. And so I ask you to keep our brother in your prayers. He's preached here at this pulpit. Keep our brother in your prayers because somebody believed the internet more than the Word of God and more than the man of God. And it's destructive, and people are going to pay for that. That person's going to pay for it. We need to get connected to the source. reconnect to the source. All the truth you'll ever need is here.
Amen.
I don't have a phone. Not here. Not on the internet. Not on YouTube. There is so much false information. So much misinformation. And so many times. By the way, anybody in here ever been in the military? Thank you. Thank you for your service. My uncle was a demolitions expert. Amen? He was a demolitions expert, and they paid him to go in and defuse bombs. He had nerves of steel. Do you know what happened if he cut the wrong wire? Do you know what happened if he touched the wrong wire? May I encourage you today to realize that the internet, YouTube, Facebook, etc., et al., there are wires in there that if you touch them, they will blow your spiritual life apart. Is that okay? Is that a good analogy? Is that fair? Even if they sound right, even if they look right, even if they're on the Daystar network. This man, my heart is with my brother. But we got to get connected to the source. And we talked about that, and we talked about how the one, and I'm going to summarize this. I've got a page of summary that we're going to go through. How many of you would like to beat the Presbyterians down to the roadhouse today? Okay. All right. We got one honest person in here. All right. Praise God. We're going to. Because I ain't got much, but what I got is golden. I'm not talking about nuggets. I said this last week. I love when Pastor Corey tells us that, man, here's a nugget for you. It's coming. Get ready. I've got a vein of gold for you today. That's about 4 foot thick, 10 feet wide, and it's going to be delivered in about 45 minutes. Is that okay? Can you stick with me that long? Now, those of you watching on Facebook, remember, you may have to come back. You may get a hold of this late because Facebook doesn't like it if you go over 5 or 10 minutes. They want you clicky, 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 clicky. They make money when you click away. But you can live forever if you stay here. That's all right. That was good. I'll amen that myself, too. That was good. That ain't in my notes. You can look at my notes if you want to. But. All right. Verse number 20, I'm using the same slide point. That's why you didn't get scriptures this morning. You know I had them. So I always share my... God the Father is the source. Click on down to number 20, or you could help us out in the back and just get down to slide where it says verse number 20. But we'll get there. We'll get there. We're going. All right, here we go. Whoa, there we go. After all that he'd been through, and we really exasperated this topic last week. We exhausted it. After all that he had been through, he had an epiphany where he arose. He said, I'm going to arise. He came to himself. Now, I gave you an assignment last week. Anybody do that assignment? Okay. That's okay. The Lord told me this week, I'm not up here in vain. But when the Lord asks you to consider something and you don't consider it, he wanted you to consider it for a reason. I gave everybody in here who was here last week an assignment. I hope some of you watching online did it. But we needed to have a conversation with ourselves. We needed to come to ourselves and say, what am I doing here? Why isn't life panning out like I thought it ought to? If God is good and he's the source, why am I in lack? If God is good and he's the source, why am I not in health? If God is good and he's the source, why is the trouble of this world so affecting my life? I'll just continue that assignment on for this week. Because once you get to the point where you ask yourself, what am I doing here? Then you might detect that you're no longer connected to the source, but you've taken your thimble and you're walking, trying to walk on your own. We're not equipped for that. Even the talking head at 1600 Pennsylvania said, if you're going to take on the military, you've got to have F-16s and blah, 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 blah. You're not equipped for it. And if you're not equipped to take on a wimpish military like we have, then you're not equipped to take on spiritual enemies that are looking to steal, kill, and destroy you. I'm drawing parallels. Do you realize that you have at your resource, you have in your arsenal, if you would just be aware of it, the most powerful weapon that this world has ever known? Amen. It's when you're connected to the source and you say, Lord, I know I can't, but you can. And I like a song that my mother and them used to sing back in the day. When you give up and let Jesus take over, He will make a way for you. Amen? Amen? I can go home and go to sleep tonight. I can go home and not fret tonight. Many Christians in the church today, not necessarily just our church, but the church at large, many Christians are, as it were, on a bus, on a journey, and every one of them wants to sit behind the driver and say, are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure we should go this way? Driver, do you know what you're doing? How many of you have ever took a bus trip or a train trip or a plane trip? Now, I did get to talk to a pilot one time. I've sat with a bus driver, talked with him a couple of times, sat with an engineer, talked with an engineer a couple of times. But not one time have I ever seen anybody asking the driver, are you sure? Anybody in here ever seen a driver, a person doing that with the driver? You've seen that? You've seen, really? Wow, I thought I was the only one. We were on a bus, a charter bus to Cincinnati to go to a Reds ball game. And this lady, Vanessa got us tickets from the Donnelly Club or whatever. And this lady, we get almost to Cincinnati, Ohio, and a lady walks from behind us up in front of us and grabs that pole and starts telling the driver, hey, you know you don't want to go this way. Which way are you going? She asked him which way he was going. He said, I'm telling you. Now, you know, that may be the reason the Lord don't tell us the way it's going to go. You know what Pastor Mike says, right? You know why God created man on the sixth day and then he rested? Because he didn't want his advice. Well, true. Think about it. If he'd have created man on the second day, and Eve, don't hate me. And then he took his finger and he drug it through Colorado, Arizona, down in toward New Mexico, and left this grand canyon there. What would Eve said? You gonna leave that like that? Come on, ladies, you know. You gonna leave that there? Somebody's gonna fall in it. That's almost a mile deep. All right. Anyway, he created men last because he didn't need our opinion. And you know something that we're finding out even more and more as we're getting into these end days? Not only did he not want our opinion, he doesn't need our approval. We need his approval to be successful because he's the Father. He's the source. We need his approval, but he does not need our approval. Okay. So he had a meeting with himself. It's still not too late. We need to have a meeting with ourselves. We need to put the phone down. Give the phone away. Put it wherever you put it and take a walk. And have a meeting with yourself and say, Lord, even the servants in your kingdom have it better than I'm living right now. Has anybody ever seen an angel in lack? Does God ever worry about the price of gas and I'm hot but I'm blinking. Does God ever worry about the price of gas or the price of fuel? What on earth if our Father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, does he not also own the hills? Does he not also own the coal and the gold and the diamonds underneath the hills? Doesn't he own all the resources? And you ask yourself, why am I living in lack if I know the Father? How many of our children, how many of our children would come to us with a need, an honest need, and some wants? And if we have the ability to meet it, would we say, get it your own way? Now, we knew some people that they told their children, by that when you're 18 on your 18th birthday, 18 and day one, you're out. We're done with you. We took you to raise you to 18, to the age of accountability on 18 years old, and one day we'll be packing your stuff and you'll be finding your own way. I know a man that was voted out. He came from a large family, and the father of the family got sick, and the father of the family was, and he got voted out, like being voted off the island. He hated that survivor program, because every time it come to vote somebody off, he remembered how his own family said, you have to leave. Sound familiar? I hope not. But he had a meeting with himself. He had an appointment with himself. And when he had come to himself, he said, you know what? At Dad's house, everything is better. At Dad's house, everything is awesome. At Dad's house. Are you still green? That's not working. Okay, all right. At Dad's house, there's plenty to eat. At Dad's house. And we used to teach the youth when we were youth pastors. We used to teach the youth that in our Father's house, there's lots and lots of room. In our Father's house, there's a big, big table with lots of food. In our Father's house, there's provision. In our Father's house, everything that we need. But why do we leave the source of our blessing? You see, that's the issue. And he arose and he came to his father, in verse number 20. But when he was still a great ways off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. It's crucial here to note, and we talked about this last week, that the father did not go a-chasing after him or begging him to come back home. Now, I believe that the father never stopped praying. And I believe that every night that there was a place set for him at Father's table. But why did the father not go out and beg his son to come home? Because his son already knew where his provision was from. How many times when people lay out of church, when people miss church, when people start missing, and you go out, I'm okay, I just been busy. The father didn't want him to compound his sin. If Hebrews 10:25 tells us that it's a sin to miss church, then is it also not another sin to make excuses why we're missing church? I mean, you know, I've told people that I will not cause them to lie to me anymore because I don't want to be responsible for them compounding their sin. Oh, I'll be there, Pastor. I've got one guy, every time I talk to him, I'm saving you a seat. Don't tell me you're coming when you're not. Don't tell me you're coming. Don't tell me what you think I want to hear. Don't tell me, hey, we'll be there. No, and you don't show up. Don't compound your sin. If you're walking in sin already, don't add to it. I wish more people would just be honest. Man, I hate your guts and I ain't never coming there. Thank you. I hate your guts and I hate the church and I don't want nothing to do with it. Leave me alone. Deal. But don't give me a false hope. Don't lead me on. Well, why do people do that? Because they don't want you to think bad of them. And it's not about thinking bad of them. It's are you saved or are you lost? And it's amazing how those who are in the church, they know the hymns, but they don't know him, oftentimes try to disguise where they really are with the Lord, but be sure your sin will find you out. The father didn't want to compound his sin until the son came to the realization that he didn't belong in the world system. He would always have longed for the lie. Remember what the Apostle Paul said about Demas? The bright lights of this age have tempted him, and he could not maintain, he could not stay, and he had departed. That's why some depart. They find this world is more attractive than Noah's Ark. But until he came to the realization that he didn't belong in the world system, he would have always longed for the lie the world tells of freedom and how oppressed he was at Father's house. And he said to him, remember the prodigal said to the father, he made up his thing that he said to him, that I'm going to tell my father that I've sinned against heaven and you. And exactly what he said in verse number 21, and the son came and said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Who told him that? Who told him that? He was still thinking like the world. There's a lot of people in the church still thinking like the world. Amen. I'll do it. I'll give you a break. You're tired. Amen. There's a lot of people in the church that still have a world mindset. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Who told him he was not worthy to be a son? Who told you you were not worthy to be a son or daughter of Jesus Christ? It wasn't the Word, and it wasn't the Lord. I got my little amener going. Amen? It wasn't God, and it's not the river. Still had the world ingrained in him. Still infected by the virus that is the world. That's why Jesus said, you can't love the world and love God. A lot of people think, oh, we can't not love. No. You can't love the world system and love God. You can't serve two masters. You'll either cling to one and hate the other, or hate the one and despise the other. Your Bible says that. And if you're out of position and you can't make it back to the source, the devil's trying to cut you off. It's football season. Anybody watching any football? No? Not watching any football? There was a great goal line stand the other day in one of the game, the college games that we were watching. Man, that team had rushed it down like 80 yards and they were this far from getting it into the goal. And somebody found their heart. Somebody found, they mustered up the courage. And they lined everybody that they had up on the line. These big guys, bigger than anybody here. And the other team was smaller, and the announcers were like, well, looks like they're going to march this right in easily for a score. Look how big they are, and look how little they are. But they must have forgot that somewhere down inside, David found the courage to stand up against a 9-foot, 10-inch giant called Goliath, and these guys mustered something from the very same source, and all of a sudden, when the whistle blew and the pile was cleared, they were still that short from the goal line because somebody said, not in my house, devil. Amen. What you allowing in? What you allowing in? We were at a place the other day, and I was amazed that a guy that says he's a Christian and goes to church was allowing someone to blaspheme the name of the Lord in his house. Well, he's my friend. Blasphemy is punishable by death. You let that in your house, you're a house of blasphemy. I don't care if you say 92 Hail Marys at a time. You let blasphemy in the door of your house, you're asking and inviting demonic trouble in your house. You can't fight a war with the enemy sitting at your table. Oh, somebody got to get a hold of that. You can't fight and win a war with the enemy sitting at your table. Hello, Washington, D.C., and Chinese spies and Chinese lovers and prostitutes and Hunter Biden. I'll say it. Somebody's got to say the truth. I'll say it. You can't fight it in the church either. What you allow in your home will rule your home. You give the devil an inch and he'll take an eternity. I've got to move on. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put the ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. We talked about all of this. And bring out the fatted calf here, or bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Just Friday. You want to know how close you are to the end? Just Friday. 5 red heifers were delivered to Israel. Do you know how many there have been in the last 5 centuries? They've got 11 months to go to observe them. And then they will rebuild and reconstitute the temple. Then you look over into Matthew chapter 24, and then you'll start seeing what happens in Matthew chapter 24. And you can say, "Who it's nigh unto the door." All right, don't want to get into eschatology today. We're talking about the source and the system. The source versus the system. And kill it, and let's eat and be merry. For this my servant has come home. This my son has come home. You see, no matter where you find yourself, how far apart you are from God right now, you may be walking contrary to God. You may be running the complete opposite direction from God right now. You may be not even thinking of God, not even having Him in your sights anywhere. Not in your thoughts, not in your house. You may not, but the minute that you turn back to Him, He said, "This my son," or "this my daughter," was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. And they began to make merry. Now, not everybody in the church loves the Lord. Not everybody in the house loves the Father. Not everybody in the house who's benefiting from the source has tapped into the grace. There's some people that when you tell them that the Lord has restored me, they're like, "Oh, great. Sure, yeah. Right, whatever you say." There are some people, whenever you say, "You know what? The Lord has been showing me. He sent me to a place where they're teaching me His word, and they're not adding to it. They're not taking away from it. They're not trying to stretch Nostradamus' theories into it. They're just saying, 'This thus says the word of the Lord.' And you know what? I'm growing. And you know what? He's prospering my land. And you know what? My fruit trees are blossoming. And you know what? Those relationships are getting patched back up that once were taken away. And you know what? Because I found myself at the Father's table again, all of a sudden the blessing comes back." Amen. He said, "This my son." And they begin to make merry. Verse number 25. How many of you are in here today are the older, are the old eldest of your family? Yeah, me too. It sucks. Because we were expected to do everything right. And the baby got away with everything.
Amen.
Right. Why did you let your do this? Why did you let your brother do this? Why did you let your sister do this? It's like, they told me I'm not the boss of them. I didn't sign up for that. I'm blessed to have wonderful siblings. But let's turn it into the church. We're talking about church family. The older son was out in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Been out there working all day. Work my fingers to the bone, and what do I get? Bony fingers. He heard, he came in and he heard, wow, there's a party going on. And so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound." Let that sink in for a minute. Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Has anybody in here ever read that there's more rejoicing in heaven over one person that needed repentance than over 99 that don't? When we have someone that comes and says, "I was lost and I want to come home," there should be rejoicing. When we have someone who, according to the word, was dead or separated unto God, and they come back home, there should be rejoicing. And I'm not talking, and I'm not just talking about a golf clap, a PGA clap, or a tennis clap at Wimbledon. I'm talking about a Super Bowl clap when your team has won and they're holding up the Lombardi trophy. Because as we sing in the song that is new to most of you, and I'm sure you're going to get it in a little bit, "Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free." Amen?
Amen?
There has to be rejoicing. We don't want to be like the older son and said, "Oh yeah?" One time I told you guys how I was ministering to a guy, and he was a biker, and he got in some legal trouble, and they found several garbage bags full of pot in his house, and he said that was just for medicinal purposes for himself, because you know he had trouble, and he did have some trouble, but he had more trouble when they realized that there's not anybody in the world that's going to consume 20 gallon or whatever garbage bags full of pot. That kind of presents a problem and a dichotomy. And so as we were talking to him, and as he was facing some jail time, let's help the baby out, talking to him, and he was facing some jail time. Some people say, "Well, he just did that so the judge would go easy on him. He just did that so the judge would go easy. Instead of rejoicing that hell lost another one and he was free, you see, because sometimes the devil has to put you on your back and knock all the props out from under you to where you can't find even a handle to get up. And once the devil does that, then the Lord will say, "Are you ready to come home now?" And I don't know where you are today, but if that's you today, then I'm just going to pray, Lord, allow all the props to be taken away so that the only place that they can look is at you, and hopefully they'll come to their senses and come to you and say, Lord, I can't do this without you. Amen. Amen. So we've got to work on that rejoicing when people come, and we also got to receive the word with gladness, right? Like I said last week, and there will be a test. Do you realize that when we go forward and we preach the word and we teach the word and we give you the word and we it gets scattered, some to the wayside, some on the rocky soil, and the birds come and snatch some of it out. Do you realize that the sower is not responsible for the how the seed ended up? The ground is responsible for the seed. If your heart's too rocky and you can't rejoice, then the birds are going to come and steal it. Whose fault's that? Not the sower. If your ground is too weedy and you've been entertaining too many things, and all of a sudden the weeds that you've been cultivating spring up and choke out the seed, then that's not the sower's fault. But the ones that find good ground, the ones that find cultivated, soft soil, nurturing soil, those are the ones that are going to take root, and those are the ones that are going to spring up, and those are the ones that are going to be like a grain of mustard, and that it's going to grow so fertile and so big that the birds of the air are going to come and make a nest in it. It's up to you. All right? I think one of the biggest things that I've seen in the 21st century in the church is that pastors have to be, preachers have to be entertaining. If they're not entertaining, if they're just preaching the word, then they're discounted. Is that right? Too much? Okay, help me out there. I'm on thin ice here. Half of them are already thinking Roadhouse. Only one admitted it, but everybody's looking at their watch. I'm just funning. But the fact of the matter is once you hear the word, you're responsible for it. Okay? Remember the test? I said there's going to be a test. I didn't tell you this. I should have told you this first. If you know, blurt it out. 3 weeks ago, what did Pastor preach on? Right? 3 weeks ago, what did Pastor preach on? Now, I've given you a hint on what I preached on last week, so you should know. Huh? Uh-huh. You evaluate, not me. This is for you to evaluate on your own. Stony ground? Rocky soil? Or by the wayside? There's been enough gospel preached in this church in the last 4 years that if you would have listened and took it to heart in the fertile ground, it could have saved the world. Getting things right. And I didn't go back and cheat either. I didn't. We were listening in the car on the way. Now that doesn't, I'm not, Romans 8:28 says there's therefore now no condemnation. If you felt bad or you had a twinge right there, that would be the Holy Spirit convicting you, saying, I'm showing you the way. I've got men that are taking time to show you the way. Are you going to hear? Are you going to take the word? Are you going to take that seed and cultivate it and plant it? I mean, we've got people. We were talking out back in the fellowship hall before service that we've got some guys that are starting some trees, some fruit trees, some cherries, some plums, some, you know, you name it. I'm still looking for guys with English walnut starts. If anybody knows any, send them to me. Not because of me, because my dad liked them. And I still want to make my father proud. I want to make my Heavenly Father proud too. Do you think we make Father happy when we live lives of lack and lives of lean? When He's got all of this available? Or do we live like the older son and we get so busy just going through the rigors of coming to church? Well, I got to go to church today. We could do so much more if we didn't have Bible study on Sunday night. I mean, there's Sunday night football. It comes on NBC. We could watch Sunday night football. But no, we got to go how to learn how to get our friends, relatives, and neighbors, associates and neighbors into church. Like that's something important. Well, first you got to have friends, associates, and neighbors. I'm meddling. I'll get back over here and quit. But he was angry and would not go in. How many people do you know that are angry at something and will not go into the house of the Lord? They're in the Father's house, but they're not in the Father's heart. He's not in their heart. Therefore, now when you see therefore, for what do we do? Stop and see what it's there for. Therefore, his father came out and he pleaded with him. Let me just tell you, some of us the Father is pleading with. Some of us the Father is saying, can't you see? Can't you see I love you? Can't you see you're my son? Can't you see? Can't you see? The Father's pleading with us, and we're so mad that we would risk being forever separated from Father just so I can be mad. I have had a friend that was Irish and Polish. Irish had the hot temper, and his Polish side had no filter. He said, I can't help it. I was born that way. And I said, then you need to get born again. Amen. Just like David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Get born again. After I told him that, and after a barrage of profanities, he said, I'll work on it. And I said, I'm glad, because I don't know how many more of those I could take. You know, that was like kryptonite to my heart. People who are in the house but don't love the Father will get jealous and angry when they hear of your restoration back into the family. Get used to it. Get ready. When they hear that, oh, you left here, but you preach in there now. Oh, that, yeah, right, sure. I bet that's... When they heard that my buddy was saved and he was just trying to get out of jail, they would say, and that he's just trying to get favor with the judge. I'm telling you what, with a truckload of pot in your house, I'm not sure how much favor you can get. But that was 30 years ago. And last I heard, he was still preaching. And last I heard, he didn't spend a day in jail. If the Lord can shut the mouths of the lion for Daniel, your big brother, you need to understand, what can he do for you? Now, I'm not advocating go out and sin all you can. You know, the Apostle Paul said, well, what more then if grace abounds where sin, you know, abounds, if there's more grace where sin abounds, should we sin the more? No. But I'm telling you, if you get caught, if you get into a strait and you get into a rough patch, call on the Father. All right? Verse number 29. So he answered and said to his father, now this is his father pleading with him, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed against your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might go and make merry with my friends. The translation here is, it says, I have been slaving for you. Some of us think in the body of Christ that we have been slaving. Oh, man, do you know how hard it is just to, man, do you know how hard it is just to get to church on Sunday? Do you know how hard it is to come on Sunday night Bible study? Do you know how hard it is to get there Wednesday night, and last Wednesday night notwithstanding? Do you know how hard it is to get here? Well, why don't you up your game a little bit? Why don't you say, hey, Sister Vanessa, I don't know how y'all do all you do. I don't know how you supply the church. I don't know how you take care of the bills. I don't know how you, but hey, I can take a turn cleaning for you. Oh, wait. Yeah, Sunday mornings is enough. You see, some people have the mentality over the last 50 years that the church is a luxury liner when really it's not. It's a battle frigate. And the Lord is calling all hands on deck. I know everybody liked the Love Boat and Captain Steubing, and I know you get it, and you know, and all the other characters on there. But let me just tell you, there's no way that a boat that big could only have four staff members. I mean, there was Julie, there was Doc, there was Gopher, and what was the other the black fellow, and Captain, huh? Isaac and the captain. Ain't no way. Television's fake, and so's pretty much all the internet. Right? I've been slaving for you. Not one time. Not one time did you ever offer me a... Now, you have to go back, in order to understand what he's saying, you have to go back in the... And when the younger son came to the father and said, give me my portion, the father divided his goods among them. Both of them. They both got everything. One guy was living at the source and didn't even realize he was there. I mean, you at least would have thought he would have been like old Jed hunting for some food. And out from the ground come a bubbling crude, right? You at least would have thought, you know. You know, next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. But some people don't realize what they've got when they've got the source. The one said, I'm going to take my possessions and I'm going to leave. The other one said, I'm going to slave until the old man dies. Then when the old man dies, whoo, we'll party then. Are you ready? Listen, I'm going to give you something good right here. Remember I said, 4 feet thick, 10 feet wide. You are already living in the source. You already have everything available to you that you need, because your God said, I shall supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. Amen. If you don't get supply, then you're out of position. If you don't get the supply and what you need, then maybe you need to reposition yourself to get into contact where like this older son said. Now remember, now watch, he gets this litany. He says, these many years I've been slaving for you. I've never transgressed your commandments. How about love your father? How about honor your father? Oh, well, that notwithstanding. at any time. Yet you never gave me a young goat so that me and my buds can have a party. Where was he thinking? About dad? About self. He was part of the world system living in dad's house. And there are people that are part of the world system living in father's house. And what I'm telling you today is you need to get a hold of the source and watch the system decay in front of you, because it will. If you've ever been upset and if you've ever been disappointed by the world, guess what? It's fixing to happen all over again. But when you get a hold of the source, which is the Father, and you get a hold of Him, you'll never be disappointed if you truly connect with Him and then let all the moorings from this world go. Well, I don't know if I can do that. You can't. You can't do it. Let me just answer that question for you. I don't know, Pastor, if I can do what you're saying. You can't. But we have to go back to a meeting with the disciples when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're Elias. Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're this. Some say you're the other thing. Some say you're Elijah, come back from the dead. Some say you're John the Baptist. You know, you just got beheaded over there." And Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter looked and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And you know what Jesus said to him? "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven revealed it." And if God does not change, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Lord will reveal to you, those on a quest for truth, the Lord will reveal to you, the Bible tells you, that if you have any question, ask Him who gives liberally to all who ask. If you have any lack wisdom. And then to trust the Holy Spirit who will lead you into most of the truth. What? Remember we were talking about contractual agreements the other day? The scripture is a contract. And inside the four corners of that contract lie all the wisdom and knowledge and truth we'll ever need. You go out of the corners of the contract, there's false doctrine. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. There are people that are meant to lead you astray. Oh, they're not going to say, they're not going to hold up a sign, you know, and even Facebook and YouTube won't put independent fact checkers have checked this. They're not going to tell you that they're false prophets. That would ruin and spoil their doctrine. But as soon as this son of yours, notice he doesn't call him brother now. As soon as this son of yours. Now watch something. I want you to see something here. If you don't have this highlighted, you might want to highlight this and take a note. Came who has devoured your livelihood with harlots. How do you know? How did the older son know what the younger son was doing? It's really not a mystery, is it? How many of you know people that are into everybody else's business but their own? Some people in the church could be on the Discovery Channel like those baboons that are picking the nits out of their little babies. And they know where you... My dad said you got to keep your mind on your own nitpicking. Let's let that hang there. The Apostle Paul said, "I've determined not to know anything except Christ and Him crucified." If you're going through a thing, you got to tell me, because I ain't coming out looking for it. I ain't stalking you on Facebook. If you're going through a thing, you better let me know. Now, I pray for every one of you daily. I pray for those of you on the broadcast daily. But if you're going through something, don't expect me to be one putting it in the paper, because I don't know until you let me know. Amen? But the older son knew. And he said, as soon as he came home, you make him merry. And as soon as you come home, as soon as he come home, as soon as he come home, as soon as he come home, Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. How many people in the church do that? Well, sure, I could preach like Pastor Corey if Lord, you just bless me like Pastor, you big Pastor Corey. They don't know your story, do they? They don't know how much it cost you to get there, do they? They don't know the price of your sacrifice. Well, I could do that. You preachers have it easy. Said no preacher ever. Said no preacher's family ever. Matter of fact, when I started in this, the Lord called me to minister. I remember I went to my dad and I said, Dad, the Lord's called me to preach. And I was reminded of that the other day because I can see the chapel and where the Lord called me to preach. And I went and I had a talk with my dad, and we walked back the field and we walked back into the woods, and I said, Dad, I'm afraid. You see, I didn't take this calling lightly. I said, Dad, I'm afraid. I said, the devil has threatened that he will take my family, and he's still threatening that today. I said, Dad, I can't get away from it. I can't do it. And I had very, very wise counsel. I said, if you can do anything else but that, then do that. And I couldn't. And long about half a mile, three quarters of a mile into the woods, my dad reminded me of something. He said, son, he said, didn't you dedicate your marriage to the Lord? Yes, sir. Didn't you dedicate that daughter to the Lord? Yes, sir. Didn't you dedicate that son to the Lord? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, that which you put in his hands, nobody can remove. Amen. It was 1993. 2022, I'm standing here still proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm going to give you the summary. This is the summary. Are you ready? You're going to be out of here in 6 minutes. Unless you need prayer. There was a couple of times we went through. I'm warning about some of you. I just love you. Not condemnation. One, we must understand that God the Father is our source. He's the Father of lights. You don't have these passages. I'm off the chart. That a certain man had two sons, but in this, both of them were lost. One of them just knew it. The other one was a false convert. The younger one traveled to a far country, and there he wasted all of his possessions with prodigal living. Bad choices make for a horrible life or living conditions. The young man did not realize the difference between access and ownership. We need to understand that today. When you walk away from the Father's provision and the Father's protection, and you submerge yourself into the system of the world, they will treat you like you have eating with the hogs. They don't value you. That's where the old adage, if you can't beat them, join them, was founded. But he came to himself. He declared, I will arise and go to the Father's house. He literally declared that I would rather be a slave in my Father's house than to die trapped in the hog pens of this world. Notice that the world system had framed his thinking and reformed his thinking and forged his thinking. You see, only the world knows about masters and servants. The world cannot comprehend the family of God. And the son, in verse number 21, we talked about how the son had said, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The world had forged his thinking. That was not from God. Let me just tell you something. I don't know if I'm talking to an addict. I don't know if I'm talking to an alcoholic. I don't know if I'm talking to one in a perversion. I don't know if I'm talking to one who walked away from their faith. Don't let the world tell you that you are no longer worthy to be called a son. Come back to Father's house. The Father's watching for you to come. People who are in the house but don't love or truly know the Father will get jealous and offended and angry when they hear of your restoration back into the family. They might even say, I'm not offended. I'm just, and you can enter your own superlative here. I'm not offended, I'm just cautious. How can anybody with, you know, that many bags of pot be serious? Well, the proof is in the pudding. 30-some years down the road, preaching the gospel, I think he was serious. We need to come to ourselves, and we need to ask ourselves, do I find myself often having to defend my position because people get the impression that I'm angry, defensive, or offended? Or do I make excuses to be angry, overly defensive, or offensive? That's a religious spirit. If you find yourself constantly making excuses, like my Irish and Polish friend did, I was born that way, then get born again. Right? Because that's none of the fruit of the Spirit. Peace and love and joy are the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Amen? If you find yourself in that, with that religious spirit, you just might have more of the world's programming in you than you realize. The people around you, particularly in the church, are expecting you, depending on you. Your family, your friends, your relatives, associates, and neighbors need you. Some people I'm talking to right now don't realize the difference between access and sonship and the world system of bless my mess. They don't get it. And I don't want to be so crass, but we know. It shows. You know how that one airline says we love to fly and it shows? The devil loves to keep people in ignorance about the Word of God, and it shows. Are you living the abundant life? That's not lesson two, is it? I hope not. I have to think about that. Are you living the abundant life? If you're not, then maybe you're not connected to the Jesus who said, I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And lastly, do you know that there's a place set for you at Father's table? Ask yourself, come to yourself and say, what am I doing in this mess? Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you. Thank you for the message that you gave us. Thank you, Lord, for the people that it's ministering to. And Lord God, I just ask that this message finds its way into fertile soil and that the seed is allowed to take root and grow because the fruit thereof is sweet. The fruit thereof produces fruit of the Spirit and not the fruit of this world. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for each and every one that's here today. For those of us joining on the internet, God bless you and God have mercy on us all. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. 1244.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.